Good morning. Hope that everyone is having a wonderful holiday weekend. You know, this weekend we celebrate the declaration of our nation's independence. On July 4th, 1776, we declared our independence from the oppressive British rule. And in time, we secured that freedom for our nation. We became a new nation. We became a new people. This morning, as we think about that this weekend, as we consider that, and I hope that, you know, this weekend is more than just barbecue and an extra day off work, hope you do take time to think about the blessings of our nation. But I want us to consider this morning similarities in the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt and our deliverance from sin as we are free in Christ Jesus. You know, you can't start at Exodus if you want to think about what took place with the children of Israel in Egypt. You have to go back into Genesis to Joseph and him being sold into slavery by his brothers and then winding up there in Egypt and going to prison after being falsely accused. And then in time, because of the interpretation of dreams, he was brought before Pharaoh and he interpreted that dream that would tell Pharaoh about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And he became the number two man in the country. And because of Joseph's efforts in preparation for that famine, Egypt would become the most powerful nation in the world. They would be the nation that was prepared to feed their own people. But not only that, they would also be able to feed people from other nations. As a result, Egypt became one of the first countries to own its own land because they bought the land of the people for exchange for food. And then also it became a very wealthy nation because of all the gold that was brought into Egypt as a result of Joseph's preparation. But you know, as we go into the Exodus portion of the narrative, the Bible tells us that there came a Pharaoh who did not remember Joseph. Not necessarily that he didn't remember him, but he did not at least respect what Joseph had done for Egypt. And as a result, he enslaved Joseph's descendants. He enslaved the children of Israel that were there in the land of Egypt and treated them harshly. Now, when we think about us, likewise, sin comes when we do not respect God. When we do not remember God, when we do not respect what He has done for us, the blessings that He has brought to our lives and what He has done in His love in sending Jesus Christ, we do not remember Him. And as a result, we are willing to enslave ourselves to the very opposite of God. Enslave ourselves to sin. And sin is a harsh taskmaster that brings suffering to our lives. The Bible makes clear that the way of the sinner is hard. And God does not want us to sin because sin is harsh, because sin is hard on our lives. Moses understood in Hebrews chapter 11 that sin was just for a season that was pleasurable. But in the end, it destroys us. It harms us and hurts us. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that when we choose to let sin exist in our lives, such will result in death. In Romans 1, when we no longer choose to retain God in our knowledge, Paul makes clear that there is a penalty in our bodies for having chosen the sin that God asks us not or commands us not to do. Now, during the Egyptian bondage of the Israelites, God saw their suffering. God saw the suffering of His people and sent one to deliver them from terrible bondage. He sent Moses to deliver them. And Moses is a great person in the Bible, a great person to study, as he is one like unto Christ. He was humble, and yet he wielded power like no other man save Jesus Christ. In his as he worked to deliver them, the power that he wielded. God said, I will make you a god among the Egyptians. The power that he showed as he delivered them by the power of God. And yet he was the most humble man there was. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 33, Peter there quotes Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, where it says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you, and it will be that every soul that does not heed that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. That prophet like Moses, who the people would listen to or they would be destroyed, is Jesus Christ. Moses said, there will be one like me. And Jesus Christ is that prophet that we must listen to. God saw in mankind the suffering that sin brought and the slavery that sin brought, and knew that eternal suffering, that the eternal suffering that sin brings to people, in the end, there had to be something done. And so he sent someone to deliver us. He sent someone to deliver us from the sin, one like Moses, to deliver us from our own self-imprisonment, self-enslavement, self-imposed punishment of sin. It is John 3:16 that God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son. And he gave Jesus Christ to come to this earth and to deliver you and to deliver me from the slavery of sin. It is the demonstration of his love, according to Romans chapter 5 and 1 John chapter 4, that if you want to understand God's love, it is Jesus Christ on a cross. It is the manifestation of his love for you and his love for me. Moses came to the people. If you go back and you think about Moses, he comes to the people and they reject him, don't they? Remember, he went to Pharaoh that first time, and he told Pharaoh, the Lord has said, let my people go, in Exodus chapter 5. Remember Pharaoh's response? Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I do not know him. Pharaoh increased that day the workload on the Israelites. Remember that? And when Moses came back out, they were like, they wanted God to destroy him. They wanted God to judge and destroy him because he wasn't delivering them. He wasn't doing what they wanted. Instead, life was harder. And they didn't want to follow Moses. And it is the same thing for Jesus Christ when he came to this earth. Jesus came to this earth and was rejected by men. In John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 9, John says, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. The world rejected Jesus Christ, rejected the one that came to deliver them from sin. He rejected them. And the rejection is clear and it's plain and it's easy to see when we read in Scripture and we hear with the ears of faith, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. We hear men's rejection of our Lord. When we think about what God did there in Egypt, God exercised great power through Moses. Great power through Moses in the 10 plagues, which clearly demonstrated that God was with Moses. As I mentioned to you a moment ago in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1, God says, I will make you a God. In other words, he would appear like a God with the things that he would be able to do with his voice and with his staff, I guess you could say. But it would be the power of God. But the appearance would be that it's through him. And there was a reason for this power. There was a reason why Moses did these things. There was a reason why God did these things to the Egyptians. And he states it in Exodus chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. God says, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart that I may multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. And when Pharaoh does not listen to the people, or listen to you rather, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my hosts, and my people, the sons of Israel, from the land of Egypt by great judgments. Listen to this. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst. Those miraculous plagues, those things that God did, he did with a purpose. And the purpose was that at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, Egypt, you will know that I am Lord. I am God. Egypt had a God for everything, and the 10 plagues, I wish we had time to go into that, but the 10 plagues were each one designed to destroy Egyptian religion, to destroy the paganism of Egyptian religion. Every one of them attacked an Egyptian god. And at the end of the day, all their gods are destroyed, and there's only one left standing, and he is Lord. He wanted to make sure they understood that and knew that. There was a reason for God doing those things. It was to teach them that he was God and that Moses was his servant. Jesus, in his ministry upon this earth, showed that he was not only from God, but he demonstrated that he was God, and he did this through the miracles that he performed. You know, this was the purpose of the book of John. In chapter 20, in verses 30 and 31, it says, "Therefore many other signs Jesus also performed." That's talking about miracles. Why? "He performed them in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written." So the miracles that we have recorded in the book of John, "these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." So John says, Jesus did a lot of miracles, and some of those miracles we didn't record in this book, but let me tell you, we recorded these miracles that we have in the book of John so that you might understand and you might recognize by seeing those miracles and understanding that Jesus performed those miracles that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, we look at that and we see people constantly understanding that in the book of John. John just constantly gives miracles and shows people understanding who Jesus was because of the miracles. John 1, it's Nathanael, is it not? Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree." And he says, "Well, you must be the Son of God." And Jesus kind of, he says, "You know, if you're impressed that I knew you were under the fig tree, just wait. There's bigger things coming." But he immediately understood, he immediately acknowledged who Jesus was. John chapter 3, Nicodemus says, "No man can do the things you do except he be from God." See, Nicodemus saw the miracles, he saw the things that Jesus did, and he got the message that Jesus was from God. John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman went into town and said, "I've met a man, he is the Messiah, and he is the one that told me everything about me," right? He knew everything about my life. The miracle of Jesus knowing those things convinced her of who he was. In John chapter 9, the blind man who had never seen Jesus, didn't know who Jesus was, didn't even know his name. Folks, let me tell you what, there's an argument there about faith. You can only be healed if you have faith, right? Didn't he know who Jesus was? He said, "I tell you this, though. I was blind. Now I see. Only God can do that." Right? He understood. He didn't need to know the man's name to understand who was behind it. That only God can do that. In John chapter 20 and verse 28, we mentioned Thomas this morning in Bible class, but let me tell you what, in John chapter 20 and verse 28, when he put his hands in the wounds of Jesus Christ, and folks, that's the powerful risen body of Jesus Christ, supernatural body. He said, "My Lord and my God," because he saw the power of Jesus. You know, Jesus performed many miracles as well to show who he was, but sometimes he performed miracles to show he was God. Not only that he was from God or that God was working through him, as most prophets would be doing, or as Moses was, but Jesus did miracles to show he was God. All we have to do is look in Mark chapter 2, and they lower that paralytic through the roof, and you know, they can't get him to him, so the friends, they tear the roof up, and they lower him down there to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Oh, my. That caused a stir, didn't it? And I want you to understand, the man is not up. The man is still paralyzed. And the Pharisees and the others start going, "Oh, what's he saying? Why is he saying these things?" And they even tell us the truth. For once, the Pharisees get it right. Only God can forgive sins. You got it. You bet. You got that one nailed. That is exactly right, Pharisees. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus said, "Well, which is easier? Say your sins are forgiven you, or pick up your pallet and walk." Okay, pick up your pallet and walk. God gets up. Showing that if it had been blasphemy, if it was something he was unable to do, He would have never been able to do the miracle by God. Jesus was saying right there, I have the power to forgive sins. Therefore, he was saying, I am God. So it is power. God shows his power. But when we go back to the Israelites, we see that their deliverance as well required death. And it required blood. There on that Passover, as we come up on the 10th plague that was brought upon the nation of Egypt, they were commanded to take a lamb without blemish in the middle of the eaves at 3 o'clock, between 3 and 6 o'clock there on that day before the Passover, and they were to sacrifice that lamb, and they were to place that blood upon their doors. And then they would the death would pass over them. It would prevent death coming upon their house. Folks, for us, Jesus Christ provided himself as a sacrifice without blemish. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb provided by God that takes away the sins of the world. He didn't have any sin. He had no blemish on his life. His blood was clean. His blood was precious. And it is that blood, when it is placed upon our houses, Matthew chapter 7 talks about our lives being a house, whether we're wise or we're foolish in building them, based on whether or not we build them according to Jesus Christ's words. But when we place that blood upon our houses, our lives, then it allows us to avoid the spiritual death that surely comes to those that do not have the blood. Jesus died. Now, when we think about his death, there is very little. I mean, if it's recorded in the Scriptures, there's a reason for it to be recorded. If it's recorded in the Scriptures, there's a reason for you and I to understand it and to know it. And sometimes we just think it's, you know, the Holy Spirit checking his watch and telling us when Jesus died at 3 o'clock on that Friday afternoon, the day of preparation for the Passover that would come that evening at 6 o'clock would begin the Passover for the Jews. And let me tell you what, Jesus Christ died at 3 o'clock, the very moment over there in the temple there in the city of Jerusalem, they began to slaughter the Passover lambs. He died at exactly the right moment to be that Passover sacrifice for you and me. The ultimate Passover sacrifice. The one sacrifice for all time. So that death would pass over us. And we would know life in him. The last, the deliverance of the Israelites required a baptism of water. Moses took them out after the 10th plague and the death of the firstborn. They said, get out. In fact, the Egyptians just wanted them out. Gave them all their stuff. Here's gold. Just take everything and go. Just leave, please. It's enough. They go all the way down and they put themselves between two Egyptian forts and the Red Sea. And here comes Pharaoh's army, because his heart was, of course, again hardened. And they have nowhere to go. Let me tell you what, that's sin, isn't it, without God? Nowhere to go. I got no hope. There's no deliverance. But God opened up that Red Sea, did he not? He parted that Red Sea and they walked through on dry ground with that cloud that led them overhead. And that's what Paul talks about when he goes to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 and 2, where he says, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. The Israelites were baptized. In other words, they were completely surrounded. They were completely immersed, were they not? Water in the cloud above, water on the walls, water on each side of them. They were completely immersed in that water as they passed through the Red Sea. And let me tell you what, if anyone had said, boy, that looks scary, I don't know, how about y'all? You know, you're standing there and you look and you got a big wall of water here, big wall of water here, and you got to walk down in there and, you know, you're going, that doesn't look too safe. That water could come down on me, right? I guarantee you, if an Israelite stayed on that side and refused to go through the water, he was an Egyptian slave again, wasn't he? Because deliverance and freedom lay through that water, not on the side that they were standing on. but on the other side of it. And they had to pass through it. That they might, by the power of God, and let me tell you what was taking place in that water, had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with the power of God, did it not? Walls of water stood up because of God. There was a cloud there because of God. It was His power that delivered them that day. Our deliverance also requires baptism in water. John chapter 3, Jesus says that we cannot see or even enter the kingdom of heaven without being born again of the water, baptism, and the Spirit. We cannot put on Christ in our lives without baptism, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. It is in Acts 2:38 that makes it clear that forgiveness of our sins, that very thing that we need in order to be redeemed to God, the forgiveness of our sins, is only through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 tells us that if we want to be saved, we must believe and be baptized. Our baptism, like the Red Sea, folks, it has nothing to do with this water. I talk to a lot of people and they go, "Oh, I don't believe in baptismal regeneration." Neither do I. I believe in God regeneration through baptism. It is the power of God for those that obey. Those that take the route that God provided. Just as He opened the Red Sea and said, "You go through here, you're going to be saved, you're going to be delivered." He says, "Here it is, you go through there, and you're going to be delivered." Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul says, "Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in" what? "In the working of God." Not in water, not in a man, but in the working of God, the power of God. Baptism is a working of God who raised Him from the dead. Just like the Israelites, if one chooses to refuse to enter the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus, they will remain in slavery to the devil. They will remain in slavery to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 7, Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too, like Him, through baptism, might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death." Where do we die with Him? In baptism. We have become united with Him there in baptism in the likeness of His death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that it might be buried in the watery grave of baptism, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died, died where? In baptism, is freed from sin. It's your Independence Day. You're delivered. Until we die with Christ and are buried with Him in baptism, we will never know freedom from sin. Jesus came to free you from oppressive bondage. To free you from the oppressive bondage of sin. How does this happen? John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, Jesus says, "If you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." What does the truth say? We've talked about that this morning. It is that which sets us free. It is that which Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 makes us a wise builder. If I do what it says, I'm a disciple, I'm a wise builder, I am free. If you want today to be your Independence Day from the devil, the day you say that you will no longer be under his oppressive rule, then simply obey the truth of Jesus Christ that sets you free. Like the Israelites, God will deliver you from slavery by His great and awesome power. He's made it possible. Won't you do it? He's opened up the opportunity for you. Won't you take it? Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says you have to believe in Me to be saved. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I would venture to say most everybody here does. What are you doing with that? For belief was never enough in the New Testament. In fact, there were those that believed but refused to confess Jesus because of fear of the Pharisees. It didn't do them any good. There have always been people that believe that there was a God but weren't really willing to do anything for Him. You believe in Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about it? You going to be wise with that belief? Are you willing to tell everybody about Him? He's the one that set me free. I am free today from the oppressive and terrible things of sin because of Jesus Christ. You want to confess that? He is Lord and Savior of my life. Are you going to change your life? There's nowhere in the Bible that God ever says you can just live however you want. He always says you're going to live like I say. So if you're going to come to Him, you're going to have to change some things, aren't you? We are in God's house, His rules. You live by the Father's rules. Are you willing to change for Him this morning that you might be free? Freedom doesn't mean you get to do anything you want. Our nation's getting a little weird on that. That's not what it means. That I'm free from those terrible things of sin. That I might be blessed by God. And are you willing to pass through the water? To be baptized, to receive the remission of your sins, to put on Jesus Christ, to be born again into the kingdom of heaven? By the power of God, rise up. Come out on the other side of baptism free and delivered by the power of a God that wants you to be His. Hope and pray that if you haven't done that, you will this morning. If you're a child of God, maybe you've forgotten who freed you and you have let yourself slip back into the bonds of Satan. He waits to deliver you today, and it's nothing more than a confess your sins and repent of those things, and He will forgive you and you are free again in Jesus Christ. If we can help you with your journey to freedom this morning, we'll pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.